Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire?
A very good and blessed day to each one of you, those of us that are dead or here, and those of you who may watch this now or later during the week. Our lesson today is one that is, I hope, intended to sum up and to motivate us from the lessons that we've been studying for the last several weeks. Do you believe that heaven is worth it all? What would you give for heaven? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10 that our father Abraham, many, many, many centuries ago, was looking for a home. He was looking for a city whose maker and foundation was by God. That long ago, men were concerned and longing for heaven. Heaven. In order to value heaven, we must also ask the question, what's your soul worth? We know that Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, that though a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what profit is there? What gain is there if you have all the riches in the world and you lose your soul? You see, Jesus went on to say that there was a rich man and he had many goods. One day his harvest was plenteous and it brought forth so much that he could not store it all in his old barns. So he built new barns. And when he had filled them all with the bounty of his harvest, he said to himself, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast enough for many days." But that very night, a voice came to him that said, "This night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall all these things be?" Riches, Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures in earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where nothing can invade and nothing can rob us of a place with God. If our soul is right with God, Peter paints a picture of the man or the woman who is walking uprightly with God and who has every reason to fully expect to go home to live with God forevermore in those palaces not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you ever wonder if heaven will be your home? Do you ever question if you're doing enough, if you've got it right? Let's listen to this beautiful picture that Peter gives us, beginning in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Wherefore, or whereby, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but by these we might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Now listen to him. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should either be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Now don't miss this statement. But he, if you add these things to your life, you have become partakers of a divine nature, and you have a right to the tree of life. Now I ask you this morning, and this is important. A lot of times when we talk to people who are struggling in addictions, whether it be drug addictions, sexual addictions, power, whatever may be the addiction, people often say, I don't want to talk about what I've done. I don't want to talk about my failures. I don't want to talk about my past because it makes me sad. It makes me uncomfortable. So when I ask you this question this morning, it is not intended to make us depressed, but it is a question we have to answer. In order for us to value our soul and its salvation, for us to understand the beauty of heaven, we must understand and answer this question. Do you truly believe that there was a time in your life when you were lost? That you were separated from God? That you were without hope in the world? And hell was your home. That's where you were headed. But you see, it is by the grace of God that we have been touched. If you would, listen to the reading of this beautiful old poem entitled, The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought, hardly worth his while to waste his time on an old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good people, he cried. Who starts the bidding for me? $1, $1, do I hear two? $2, who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the back of the room, a gray bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin, he tightened the loosened strings and played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, now what am I bid for the old violin? As he held it aloft with a bow. $1,000, $1,000, do I hear two? $2,000, who makes it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone, he said. The audience cheered, but some of them cried. We just don't understand. What change is worth? Swiftly came the reply, the touch of the Master's hand. And many a man with a life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardship, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he is going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never quite understands the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Do you believe today that you have been touched by the Master's hand? Do you truly, with all your heart, believe that Jesus died on an old red cross for you, to cleanse you, to wash you, to make you whiter than snow, to give you a chance to lay aside every burden, every snare, every sin, every care, and be partakers of the divine nature. You see, Jesus came to be a sacrificial lamb. John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, "He is the propitiation of our sins. He has become our substitute. He took our place at Calvary. He who knew no sin became sin for us." Now, David asked a question. In Psalms 116 and verse 2, David said, "I know that God has been good to me. He's blessed me richly. Look at all He has done for me in spite of my rebellion, in spite of my failures." And so he asked this question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all these manifold blessings? What do I offer unto Him?" And that question comes to you and to me today. If we have been washed in the blood, we have been forgiven of all of our past sins, we've been made heirs of the promise, we've become partakers of divine nature. The writer of the Hebrew letter says we have once tasted of the heavenly gifts. We have assurance that if we'll just walk in the light and hold to His unchanging hand, that we someday will hear the blessed words, "Enter thou into the joys of life." So, but one question remains to be answered. If God has been that good to me, He has touched my broken soul, He has healed me from all of my sins and transgressions, what do I owe Him? What can I give Him for what He has done? Many people today in religion, churches, they have meetings, they take trips, they have youth activities, they eat meals together, they do all kinds of things, and I am not against any of those, I'm not criticizing any of those, but those things are not what I owe the Lord. There's a beautiful old song we sometimes sing, "Will there be any stars in my crown?" That song goes on to tell us that there will come a day when we'll stand before the righteous judge of all the universe. And then the question is asked, shall there be anyone there who turns to me and says, "You met me day by day and you knew I was astray, I was lost and undone, and you never mentioned Him to me." You see, and I say this, I hope kindly, but I wish I could say this to every person today who claims to be a Christian. To those of us who claim to be the church of the Lord, you cannot be a child of the King. You cannot be the church that Jesus shed His blood for if we are not saving souls. Jesus said to His disciples, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Matthew records it, "Go make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'll be with you. I'll go with you if you'll go into the world and tell lost men about Jesus Christ." The church is not failing today because of the sinfulness of the world. The church is not failing today Because there is no hope. The church is failing today because we have forgotten our mission. The mission of God's people, individually and collectively. And I challenge each one of us to think about it. I meet people day by day. And I talk to them about sports. I may talk to them about politics. I may talk to them about aches and pains as we grow older. I may talk to them about loved ones and past occurrences. I may talk to them about children and babies. But if I'm not talking to men about their eternal soul, can I truly confess, can I truly believe that I value my own and that I know the value of a soul being right with God? Would today that all men could hear just the pure and simple gospel, that they could come in faith to Jesus Christ, turn from their sins, confess their faith in Christ, be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism, and be raised to walk in a new life, a life that says, I have been redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, and how I want others to know how blessed it is to have a right to the tree of life. Let's stand together and sing.